You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Kieran Dillon, Project Manager for Acciona Energia's Idoga Solar Farm Project in Gladstone, Central Queensland. Kieran has a proven track record of developing and delivering renewable utility-scale generation projects in the United Kingdom, the United States and Australia. Acciona Energia is the biggest energy operator in the world that works exclusively with renewable energies. As Project Manager for Acciona Energia's Idoga Solar Farm, Kieran manages all aspects of the development, including permitting, land contracts, grid connection, and commercial opportunities relating to the project. Welcome, Kieran, to the podcast.
Thank you, Kieran. Pleased to be here.
Well, as I said, you've worked around a little bit, the United Kingdom, United States, and also Australia. And I'd like to start off, when I do start the podcast, in letting people know a little bit about yourself. I'd take a hint of a bit of an English accent there.
Yes, I was born in the UK, in and around Bristol. I've lived in Bristol through the part of my early life and then moved to London to work. And that was where I started my work in the solar industry, a company called Light Source, and stint in the US for another smaller company, solar developer, and then made the move to Australia in 2019.
Well, some people don't really know, like the renewable energy sector has getting a lot of publicity at the moment. And a lot of people do think it's new, but, you know, you've been in the game for a while. So how did you manage to, you know, what year did you actually move into doing renewable energy projects like this one?
Around 2012, I got a job in London for a company called Light Source as a senior planner. And then moved into the development space 2 years later, solely working on large-scale solar PV in the UK. That market was stimulated by government policy, deriving from the 2008 Climate Change Act in the UK. And since that point, the industry has, the solar industry in particular, has just gone great guns globally. There's a big supply chain in terms of panels now. Large-scale projects, small-scale projects happening in various different countries, and it's no longer a niche industry, a mainstay for energy generation generally.
Well, for a lot of people listening to the podcast, and we do have listeners from all over the world, but predominantly, of course, Australia, a lot of people would say that there's no sun in England.
Yeah. In some locations, the cloudy conditions in the UK can create quite an efficiently performing solar farm. So you take into account irradiance, so not just bright sunlight, irradiance coming through, which can pass through clouds to some degree, and then various climatic factors like the temperature of the locality, and solar panels can work in sometimes surprisingly different in different environmental factors.
One thing that we are seeing as well is, you know, we've got solar farms and, you know, even solar farms being promoted at the moment in a way, you know, a lot of solar work within the cities. And some people do call them farms on top of their roofs, but even windows as well are being developed into solar panels.
Yeah, innovation is happening all the time within the solar industry, particularly with panels. Lots of people coming up with smart ideas to make solar panels more adaptable, more efficient. More deployable in various contexts. Like you say, you've got the traditional solar panels on trackers in fields, the large-scale projects that you've seen. You've got the traditional panel that you see on roofs all the time, and windows, roof tiles themselves are being adapted into solar PV panels and modules and cells to absorb sunlight and produce clean energy.
One of the issues, of course, that has come across, and government's catching up with a lot of the developments of these sort of projects, and it is growing quite strongly. We're expecting a massive, already having a bit of a boom, if you want to call it that, but over the next decade, quite a strong boom. And one of the issues, of course, is connecting to the grid. A lot of issues over the last few years, but the government has managed to hopefully sort that out a lot of better to make these projects viable. What have you seen in relation to grid connection and the improvements that's happened over the last couple of years?
Yeah, that's been a big challenge for the renewable energy industry and for the regulators in Australia. Well-publicised challenge that we've seen, but it's definitely improving, both anecdotally, both in terms of statements from regulators and generators themselves. You see hybrid projects now being announced. So you've got wind and solar projects sharing the same grid connections, adding complexity. So if they're resolving those sorts of issues, you can see that industry and regulators are in a pretty good space at the moment. It should only improve as people become more experienced and more projects get connected.
And one of the issues, don't want to be at all in any way controversial in one of the issues, but it's something that you need to deal with. So there has been a little bit of news of late, especially up in North Queensland with a couple of projects and the clearing of trees where a number of communities are no longer, you know, thinking renewables in that section and in that way and protesting. But then, of course, you've got a number of the community that support all these projects, definitely. How have ASIONA dealt with that in relation to, you know, communicating with the community, making sure that the community are on board, and also making sure they have a good understanding of renewable energy as we know it will help better protect the environment, but at the same time they have to be built in certain areas, and sometimes that might require the clearing of trees and natural habitat in some areas. But how have you communicated that and worked with the community to, you know, do that correctly?
Yeah, prior to engaging with the community, which does happen very early on in the development process, and we obviously screen out the locations for potential projects, and we look at early impacts on environment and clearing of vegetation from day one, so we can make a judgment call as to whether this is a suitable site and as to whether we can achieve the permits, the environmental permits that you inevitably need. And once we've done that initial early due diligence, we've got a good understanding that we don't think that will cause a harmful impact to vegetation and species, and that that impact that does occur can be mitigated, then we have in-house planning and environment specialists. We have a community marketing team that can produce materials and really deliver that message when we start engagement with the community. Social license is fundamental to all the projects that we develop. And because we're a long-term player, I think, in terms of project development, in terms of our asset ownership and our approach to business generally in Australia, it means that we can use that ethos and approach and build a level of trust with the community early on. And if the messaging is correct and you're upfront and honest with the community, then you can help them understand the impacts of renewable energy development, both in terms of planning environment and more generally. We can assess, we can look at the impacts with the community. We can even tailor our projects to feed in concerns of the community. Because we have experience, we start that communication early, and we're in it for the long term.
Okay, so let's get on to the Aldolga Solar Farm. And of course, that's situated in the state development area of Gladstone, hence Aldolga in that respect. But of course, for those that are listening, we have Kieran on the program today in the lead up to the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference on April 7th, which is an online virtual conference, which allows you to network, connect and engage with all people face-to-face, including Kieran and a number of other projects. We have around about 15 projects on that conference. So you'll be presenting the Aldolga Solar Farm. Give us a bit of information about that project.
It's been a main focus of mine since I started working for ASIONA. The project itself is about 19,000 hectares of land within the GSDA, as you mentioned. It's approximately 10 kilometres northwest of Gladstone itself. It's agricultural land with a large creek running through, some trees, and a mix of flat and undulating landscape. And you have the feature of Mount Larkham directly to the east. We were successful in a tender process run by Economic Development Queensland in 2017, and we secured the land in 2019. And EDQ, Economic Development Queensland, were looking for a solar project, so an experienced long-term renewable energy developer to come in and develop and then construct a solar farm. 1,900 hectares of land equates to approximately a solar farm of around 600 megawatt peak. That's up to 1 million solar panels. And we've, since securing the land in 2018, we've secured state permits and 50% of the federal permits required for the project. And we're ready to move on to that next step, which would hopefully lead to construction in 2023.
Yes, it has been a process, and it's great to see that the project is moving along. And you know, there's been some which we talked about before with grid connections and everything like that. But that's all starting to be worked out now in relation to government regulations and so forth. What do you see in relation to construction? Of course, a lot of people that are listening to this program are part of the supply chain throughout Queensland and Australia, predominantly central Queensland, for this project. But what do you see in relation to construction and what's going to be needed from the local supply chain?
We definitely, I'd say that the project at the moment, the local spend during construction is probably a little bit less than 500 million. The project itself, we estimate to be an investment of around half a billion to maybe 600 million. So that there's a good proportion of that investment that can go to the local supply chain. With solar farms, around 70% of the capex involved is key equipment, so leaves around 30% that will go into the balance of plant. And we definitely encourage local industry to get in contact and put forward their capabilities for civils works, engineering works predominantly, and mechanical and electrical. We're keen to speak to local people. Because the project is within the Gladstone State Development Area and the landowner is EDQ, then obviously it's state government. They're keen on jobs, so we mirror that approach and definitely apply the Queensland procurement policy, state government policy, into our procurement activities. The overall message is we are definitely moving forward to a position where an NTP be in place, hopefully in 2023. That means that we will be engaging with the supply chain, and we want as many local businesses to be involved in construction of this project as possible.
It's actually one of the things as well that has come across from the supply chain. A lot of them are trying to see where they do fit in, of course, but the supply chain do have some issues in trying to figure out where they actually fit in to the renewable energy sector. Of course, you're building the project in the Gladstone region, which is predominantly a lot of the supply chain that deal with the coal mines and also the coal port, the Gladstone ports and so forth. So traditionally a coal sector. What's your confidence there in relation to using the local supply chain and their involvement and sort of the growth of that in a way? It may be a difficult question, but I know that it's one at the moment and it's a concern across the supply chain in really, you know, part of my job and a part of we work with the Industry Capability Network as an event partner for the Connecting Industry business, but also the conference that we're doing. And part of that is also educating the supply chain that they can play a big part within the renewable energy sector. How do you see that sort of building and going over into the future?
Very confident, very confident. Jobs and local jobs is a key focus of state government and a key focus of ours as a developer in the renewable energy transition, which is occurring and is only going to increase in the future. Recently, we have signed a memorandum of understanding with Stanwell Corporation to look at energy supply from the Aldoga solar project to Stanwell's planned hydrogen facility. And local jobs is a key focus within that context. And also, ASEAN has signed a statement of cooperation with the Queensland government to collaborate on new green opportunities. And collaboration with the Queensland state government means that jobs needs to be a key focus. So, and not just construction jobs as well, long-term operational jobs. And Gladstone's the perfect place. It's got the right state government approach, the long-term approach that we mirror, and it has tremendously skilled resources, an active workforce because of the historical context of industry in the locality, which can definitely be applied and transitioned into green energy opportunities. So I'm confident that the supply chain can really benefit not only from Aldoga, but also to the emerging plans that ASEONA and the state government in green energy in central Queensland particularly.
Okay, well, that's great news. And as I said, you know, we're hoping to, you know, educate the sector in relation to those available opportunities. And we're sure that they're trying to, they will grow in respect to the supply chain, figuring out where they do fit in and the services that are needed for renewable energy and across the board for renewable energy. So we're speaking to Kieran Dillon today. He's a project manager for the Aldoga Solar Farm that's been built in the Gladstone region. He expected the construction to start in 23. And he's presenting at the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference Queensland on April 7th, which is an online conference. And of course, with ASEONA as well, we've also got the McIntyre Wind Farm, which is down the Warwick region of Queensland, and along with around about another 13 projects as well at this conference. So we've also got Fortescue Future Industries. They're presenting their Global Green Energy Manufacturing Centre. So that's Twiggy and so forth. And they're going to present that and also talk about the future opportunities within producing hydrogen and what they'll be doing in the Gladstone region. We also have Energy Estate. They'll be presenting the clean energy project up at Aldoga, HYNQ that is called. That's a mixture of wind, solar and hydrogen as well. And that's up at Abbott Point, I do apologise, Abbott Point, up near Mackay. They're doing that one. And also Energy Estate again, but Res Australia, which is about another seven renewable energy, solar, wind and battery projects. Genex Power, they're going to be presenting their Bouldercombe battery project. Neon Australia will also be presenting their Mount Hopeful wind farm. And Bowen River Utilities, which this is a great project up in the Bowen region, of course. Urana Water Scheme, they're going to be presenting, which is the Bowen Renewable Energy Hub and the Collinsville Irrigation Scheme. So a lot of work's going to come out of that project and actually create a lot more work as well. So if you do want to get onto those projects, get the correct information as well, make sure you do attend the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference Queensland on April 7th. If you do want a ticket to go to that, go to connectingindustry.com.au, follow the prompts and get a ticket. As I said, online conference, but you can engage, connect and network with everybody on there and have face-to-face meetings, including with Kieran, as all presenters will be moving into a booth. Well, not all, just about. I think we've got around about 80% of the presenters will be moving into a booth afterwards, where people will be able to have a chat with everyone as well. So a bit of a plug there, Kieran, but thank you very much for joining us today on the Connecting Industry podcast, and good luck completely with the entire program.
No, thank you. It's my pleasure, and great to speak to you.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.